as we pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the Bible study. We bless your name for keeping us alive to see these days and to hear what we hear. We're asking, O Lord, that your word will bring light into every heart, every life, in Jesus' name. We pray we'll not be like the Pharisees that knew the letters of the word, but they missed the spirit of the word. That we'll not be like the people that are always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We pray, Lord, you'll bring us to the experiential knowledge of what we're studying in Jesus' name. So that the evidence of salvation, redemption, righteousness will be seen visible in every one of our lives in Jesus' name. That we will not be nominal, superficial students of the Bible, but be people that live out the word you're teaching every one of us. We pray that this word will bear fruit in every life in Jesus' name. Thank you, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I welcome you to the Bible study tonight in Jesus' name. We're looking at Daniel chapter 12. I'm starting from verse 1. Daniel 12 verse 1. And at that time, we learned last week, is the time of the great tribulation. The time when the Antichrist will make himself God. And then he'll say that he's ruining, putting himself as a central figure to be worshipped in the temple of the living God. But it says, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of thy people. He's talking about the angel, archangel. And he calls him the great prince that stands, that he is defending the children of Israel. And defending all the purposes of God, the plans of God for the children of Israel. And it says at that time, when the terror, the intensity of the great tribulation will be so much upon the children of Israel, that for the children of Israel, he will stand up to defend them. And then it says, and there shall be a time of trouble. Already we have learned from Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 7. That the time of the great tribulation is the time of Jacob's trouble. And also Moses said the same thing. It's a time of trial, a time of temptation, a time of trouble, and a time of real terror upon the nation. And then it says in that verse 1, and as it's such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. It's saying us that the time of the great tribulation will be a time of unprecedented suffering, unprecedented pain, real terrible problem upon the children of Israel and upon the world. And Jesus said the same thing, that that will be a time when the suffering that will appear upon the earth at that time will be as if nothing ever happened before. And it says, at that time thy people shall be delivered. The word of God tells us that at that time there will be a remnant of the people that will be delivered. We're looking at Zechariah chapter 13. I'm looking at verses 8 and 9. Zechariah chapter 13 verse 8. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, says the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined. I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. At the time of the great tribulation, two thirds of them will have perished. Because of the pressure, the persecution, the pain, the problem that the Antichrist will bring upon the Jewish people in particular at that time. But one third will be saved. That's why the Bible says that the remnant of the children of Israel eventually will be saved, will be delivered out of that calamity that they will find themselves. All that one third remaining at that time will then be delivered. We're looking at Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, I'm looking at verse 26. In verse 26, so all Israel, that is all the Israel remaining, all the remnant remaining, all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. The Lord will take away their sin at that time, the time of the great tribulation, when terrible suffering will come upon them. Matthew chapter 24. As Jesus Christ himself spoke about the time of the great tribulation, a time of terrible suffering, a time of terrible pain, a time that never appeared among the children of Israel. All that had gone through from the time of Pharaoh until the time of Nebuchadnezzar, until the time of Alexander the Great, until the time of Antiochus Epiphany. It's like they have never seen anything, because greater suffering will come upon them. Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. See what the Lord himself said, that the time of the great tribulation will be a time of great, terrible suffering, something that never happened in the world before. Verse 22, and except those days shall be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake. That's a remnant right there. That's the one thought that Zechariah talked about. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. I pray you'll not be here at that time in Jesus' name. Because the rapture is going to take place before the time of the great tribulation. And those who are saved and living righteous, holy, sanctified lives, you have gone up in the rapture before the great tribulation will come upon this world. We're looking at Daniel now, chapter 12, verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And then in verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Already now we're coming to the last chapter of Daniel. And as you look at Daniel, you see that he was a special prophet in the Old Testament, an extraordinary prophet in the Old Testament. Why do we say that? Because the prophecy of Daniel covers thousands of years. It covers a long period of time, from the time of Nebuchadnezzar until the very end of time. We'll be studying from chapter 1, and you have seen how the Lord himself had been revealing his mind, revealing his will, revealing his words, revealing his future plan to the children of Israel through Daniel and through Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we have seen that he started from the time of Nebuchadnezzar, when he saw that golden image that was very high and very big. And then he saw it until the stone came and then struck that image, and everything crumbled to the ground. And Daniel explained that those are various kingdoms. Number one, the Babylonian Empire. He prophesied about that. And not only that, he prophesied about the Medo-Persian Empire, and then the Grecian Empire, and then until the Roman Empire. And at the end of the Roman Empire, he prophesied about the coming king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that will break down all the kingdoms of the world. That means that the prophecy of Daniel spanned or covered from the time of Nebuchadnezzar until the time of the second coming of the Lord. As you look at his prophecy then covering and concerning Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Alexander the Great, Antiochus Epiphany, and Christ's first advent, that is when Christ came the first time, and Christ's sacrificial death, he spoke about that too, and the Roman Empire, and then the great tribulation now that he has spoken about, and he spoke about the restoration of Israel's remnant, and the resurrection of the dead, and the reign of Christ on earth. And he also spoke about the time of the end and Christ's everlasting dominion. You then understand that Daniel was not an ordinary prophet. He was this extraordinary prophet with extraordinary vision, extraordinary understanding, extraordinary life that he lived. And God gave him the favor and the privilege to be able to see all those things, considering then the span and the details and the depth, the length and the breadth, the significance and the scope of the prophecy of Daniel. We can say that Daniel was one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. A faithful man, an uncompromising man, a righteous man, a man of power, a man of quality, a man of purity, a man that stood for the truth faithfully all through his life without any day or any time or any period of backsliding. Now, the verses we're looking at today, that is the verses under consideration in this study, they deal with the resurrection of the dead. And here Daniel reveals the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust. That is the resurrection of all the dead who ever lived on earth, Jews and Gentiles, in all generations from the time of Adam till the very last man at the edge of the world. It's telling us that just as all seeds, whether they're good or bad, are sown in the earth, are quickened, made alive, and they germinate. So all men, good and bad, just and unjust, will be raised from the dead eventually. And the righteous will be raised to everlasting life, while the righteous will be raised to shame and everlasting contempt. That's what we're looking at today. We're looking at the study under this title, The Resurrection and the Rewards of the Righteous and the Unrighteous. We're dividing the message to three parts. Number one, the resurrection of the righteous. The people that know the Lord, the people who are saved, the people whose names are written in the book of life, their sins have been forgiven. They received the grace of God by faith. And by faith, they lived a life that was gracious, that was good, that was righteous, that was upright. And those people, on the final day, if they have lived a righteous life, it says, there is the resurrection of the righteous. On the other hand, there are the people that were wicked, the people that were righteous, the people that were sinful, the people that were hardened in their sins, the people that refused to repent or to turn after they heard the word of God, or the people that didn't even care enough to hear the word of God at all. It says there'll be a resurrection too, and it's the resurrection of the unrighteous. Point number two, the resurrection of the unrighteous. And then point number three, the rewards of the righteous. I pray you'll be among the righteous in Jesus' name. But you know, for you to be among the righteous, that means you would have recognized who is sinner. And you recognize all of sin and come short of the glory of God. And that you couldn't save yourself. And the greatest gift you could have, the greatest experience you could have, and the greatest profession you could have is the salvation of your soul. That you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, turn away from your sin, and then you allow the blood of Jesus Christ to wash you and to cleanse you. And then the Spirit of God bearing witness with your heart. You are now a child of God. And from that point on, as the Spirit of God dwells within you, he helps you, directs you, leads you to live a life that is pleasing unto the Lord. Every day, every moment of your life, you're asking yourself, does this please the Lord? Is it all right before the Lord? Is the grace of God working this out of me? And you subdue the flesh and you subdue self. And then you say, Lord, I want to live to the glory of your name. As you keep righteous like that, by the grace of God, on the final day, if you die before the time of the rapture, on the final day, you rise to life and rewards in Jesus' name. But for the people that reject the gospel, for the people that hear the gospel, but they turn their ears to the gospel, and they say, no, they don't want to live righteous life. They don't want to care about living a holy life, a saintly life, a sanctified life. On that final day, they will rise. It will be right. It will be rising unto condemnation, the resurrection of the unjust. Let's come to point number one, the resurrection of the righteous. The resurrection of the righteous. And see how the Bible talks about it, resurrection. Christ talked about it too. And the apostles talked about it. And we know that this is real. This is true. And Daniel had no doubt in his heart that on that final day, the righteous will rise. Let's come to Daniel chapter 12, and I'm reading from verse 2. Daniel chapter 12, we're looking at verse 2. and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth. Obviously, you understand, it's talking about death. It's not just talking about the people that sleep. We don't sleep inside the dust of the earth when we sleep at night. It's talking about the people that die, and their bodies are buried. And their bodies are buried inside the earth. They sleep in the dust of the earth. It says many of them shall awake, some to everlasting life. Those are the righteous people, some to everlasting life. Was the resurrection a new doctrine, a new understanding, a new experience that the Lord was talking about only through Daniel? Or were there people before Daniel that understood there's going to be the resurrection of the dead? Let's look at Job. Many, many years before Daniel was ever born, Job spoke about it. He spoke about the resurrection. In Job chapter 19, verse 25, yeah, it says, for I know. He said, I'm not guessing this one. I'm not feeling this. I'm not trying to make this one. Making sure that, you know, do I know that? Am I sure of this? Am I doubting? He said, I know of a certainty. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And you see here, Job also got revelation. Revelation about the coming Christ, about the Savior, about the Lord, about this one that will come to take away our sins. And then not only that he'll come the first time, he'll come the second time as time at the latter day. And then in verse 26, and though after my skin worms destroy this body. Isn't that death? Of course. When it says the skin worms, they destroy my body, and then I'm dead. Then it says, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Is talking about the resurrection right there. That means then Bible believers from days of old, they believed the resurrection. And Daniel now was getting the revelation that the resurrection was going to take place. Look at verse 27. Whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my race be consumed within me. See, after death, there is resurrection. What did Isaiah say about the resurrection? Look at Isaiah. Again, Isaiah was a prophet that lived before the time of Daniel. That means then the resurrection was not a new doctrine when Daniel just rose up. But God just revealed to him. He revealed another aspect of that resurrection unto Daniel. And what we're studying today, it's not coming to you for the first time. Others have heard about it, others have learned it, and we are learning it too. And it profited them when they learned it. And I pray it will profit you, profit me, profit us together in Jesus' name. Isaiah 26, I'm reading from verse 19. Thy dead men shall live. That's very clear. That's resurrection. They are dead, but they shall live in the future. The time is coming when they will hear the voice of power, the voice of thunder, thundering unto them in the grave. And then at that time, the power of the Almighty God, the creative power of God that created the universe and created us in the original, at the original time, that same voice with creative power will wake up the whole dead. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Those two words, when you combine them, the dead bodies will live, the dead bodies will arise. That's resurrection. The prophets saw it. The prophets prophesied about it. And the prophets proclaimed and declared it. There's going to be the resurrection of the dead. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. That's resurrection. It says, the people that dwell in the dust, that sleep in the dust, that lie in the dust, the people that are dead and buried, that they're going to arise. It says, arise from the dust, awake and sing. For the dew is as the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. That's it. It's in that single verse alone. See how many times the resurrection is mentioned. Thy dead men shall live. That's resurrection. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Second time, that's resurrection. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the earth. That's the third time, that's resurrection. For the dew is as the dew of the earth, and the earth shall cast out the dead. That's resurrection right there. Four times in one single verse. Resurrection, 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 resurrection. Which gives us then the assurance that there's going to be the resurrection of the dead. That's why it now says in verse 20, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. Is saying that the people of God should shut the door and then pray to the Lord and then hide themselves in the pavilion of the Lord. Hide themselves in the hiding place, in the secret place of the Most High, so that the protection of the Lord, the grace of the Lord will cover them, and they will not go through all the trials and the trouble and the tribulation that the people of the world, the sinners, are going to go through. When you shut yourself with the Lord and the presence of the Lord and the protection of the Lord and the power of the Lord is keeping you. You say, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose blood and shall no more cover her slain. Well, it is very clear then that the Bible talks very clearly about the resurrection. Of course, you know that when Jesus Christ came, he spoke very clearly, very definitely about the resurrection. And we learn from the words of Jesus Christ that the dead shall rise again. As we look at Matthew chapter 22 verse 29. Matthew chapter 22 verse 29. There are people at that time that will argue. The people that will disbelieve. The people that will say, how can that be? And the Lord said, they didn't understand, because they didn't know the scriptures, neither did they know the power of God. Matthew chapter 22, I'm reading from verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, you go astray, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. You see those two things there? And it's concerning the resurrection here. As Jesus Christ was talking to these Sadducees, he said, you err, you make a mistake, you go astray, you have wrong doctrine, you have wrong perspective. And reason for having the wrong perspective is, number one, not knowing the scriptures. Number two, not the power of God. And in any way you find anybody, not only on the resurrection, on salvation, for example, that we can be saved, we can live a righteous life, we can live a holy life, and that whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. There are people who don't believe that. You know the reason why? Not knowing the scriptures, not knowing the power of God. And the Bible talks about sanctification, that we can be sanctified and the old nature totally removed and become new creatures totally within and without, and we live the pure life, the righteous life, the innocent life, the transparent life. And some people doubt that. Do you know why they doubt it? Not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. And people, when they hear about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they say, how can that be, that the power of God will come upon you? And then you speak another language you never learned. They say, how can that be? Do you know why they doubt? They doubt because how can God heal the sick today? And they feel that the age of miracle is past. You know why? Not knowing the scriptures and not
anybody doubting anything that the word of God clearly states, and they put their mind and their brain and they put their own opinion about the word of God, the problem is revealed right there. Not knowing the scriptures on the one hand, and not knowing the scripture, not knowing the power of God on the other, and come back to resurrection in verse 30, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but as the angel, be like the angels, will not die anymore, will be to move with the age, or the speed of the angels, will know, they will know how the angels know. And every seeing that the angels have as attributes and characteristics will have, because now we carry on or we carry around resurrection body. Verse 31. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. That Jesus Christ was proving to them that when it says the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, is implying that they are not dead, they are going to rise up again, because God is not the God of the dead, is the God of the living. The resurrection of the righteous
the rising of the righteous from the dead is real. And I pray that God will make you a partaker of it in Jesus' name. In Luke chapter 20, I'm reading from verse 27. Luke chapter 20, we're looking at it from verse 27. 27. They came to him certain of the Sadducees. These were the people, unbelievers, doubters, the people that kind of made their mind to go against the word of God. And they exalted their opinion, erroneous opinion, above the written revealed word of God, which denied that there is any resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die, having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother shall take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. There were therefore seven brethren, and the first took a wife and died without children, and the second took her to wife, and he died childless, and the third took her, and in like manner the seven also, and they left no children, and that last of all the woman died also. You see, they're trying to use their own kind of worldly logic, their own kind of carnal logic. And that's what some people do. They use their peanut brain, their little brain, and they set that against the word of God. And they say, but look at this, and look at this, and look at this. If this, this, and this are so, how can there be the resurrection? That's what they were thinking, that those seven men, they were husbands to this one woman. And eventually the woman died. And now if you're talking about the resurrection, and they wanted to know who will be the husband of that woman after the resurrection, that's when Jesus Christ now began to answer them. Look at verse 34. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be, you shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die anymore. You see that? That after the resurrection, there's no more death. And then it says, they'll not be having natural bodies that will be producing children. They don't die anymore. They don't get married after the resurrection, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being children of the resurrection. Well, the point is that the righteous, they're going to rise. There's going to be the resurrection. And the prayer is, you'll be among them. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, we're looking at it from verse 25. John chapter 5, verse 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, whenever Jesus said anything like that, he was saying something irrevocable, something irreversible, something you cannot argue against. He said, verily, surely, surely, I say unto you, assuredly, without any shadow of doubt, this is going to happen. I'm telling you, that's what Jesus said, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this. Don't be surprised at this. Don't be like the Sadducees that wander and perish. Don't be like the Pharisees that wander and perish. Don't be like the people that hear the word of God and they are amazed, they are astonished, and they marvel. Because this, how can that be? Come with your faith and understand that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, Lord of lords and King of kings, he knows more than you know, and he knows more than all the people of the world know. And he's talking from that heavenly knowledge, understanding of that heavenly revelation. That's why it said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and they shall come forth. That's resurrection. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life. They that have done good. How do you do good? By becoming good. How do you become good? By becoming a child of God. How do you become a child of God? As many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Because it's when you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord changes your bad nature, your sinful nature, your evil character, and it changes you to be good. Otherwise, they say, without me, you can do nothing. Without being saved, without giving your life to the Lord. If you are just a natural man, just a nominal Christian, just a church goer, just a Bible reader, just a superficial religious man, religious woman, if you are just superficial, you'll not be able to do good. But when Jesus Christ, the good one, the gracious one, the great one, when he enters into your heart and he lives a new life through you, that's how you become good. And he says, when you have Jesus Christ like that, and through his grace, and through his power, and through his enablement, through his life within you, you do good, and he says you come to the resurrection of life. And they that have done evil, who are those people? Unsaved people, unrighteous people. They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I pray yours will not be a resurrection of damnation. It will be a resurrection unto life in Jesus' name. Acts of the Apostles, I'm reading to you from chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. Old Testament affirms it, the New Testament affirms it, Christ Jesus affirmed it, and the apostles too, they affirmed it. It's going to be the resurrection of the righteous. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 24 verse 15, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. Both of the believers and the unbelievers, both of the saved and the unsaved, both of the sanctified and the unsanctified, both of the disciples of the Lord and disciples of Satan. Everyone, we're assuming that resurrection, but after that resurrection, we go to different places. I pray you'll go to the right place. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're reading there from verse 20 to verse 22. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man, that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, so even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And now in verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's the resurrection right there, as well as the rapture. We shall not all sleep, we shall not all die, we shall all be changed. Then it says in verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and what's the next thing? The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You see the resurrection there. The dead shall be changed, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And it says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, because of the resurrection. And because when the resurrection takes place, we're going to be rewarded for the good things we have done. And we're going to reckon, we're going to be called into account for the bad things that have been done. It says, because of that, therefore, in verse 58, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Lord will reward us. I said the Lord will reward us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, talking about the resurrection and the catching away of the saints. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16. Here it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, or the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. It's very clear then all over the scriptures that there is the resurrection. That's why Daniel said, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. That means they'll be raised from the dead. The prophets did not stagger at the revelation of God. They didn't say, how can that be? They knew with God all things are possible. And when God says that the dead are going to rise, and it's going to make those who have died for many years, even those who are drowned in the sea, or those who are burnt to ashes, or those who are just lost and nobody can see their body, the Lord is going to get all the ashes and all the dust and all the molecules of their body. He's going to get everything together, and at the final day, they'll appear before the Lord. You see, the prophets of old, they did not limit God's revelation by their understanding or lack of understanding. The resurrection of the dead is revealed in Scripture. As we have read together from the Old Testament to the New Testament, the prophets, the apostles, and Christ himself, our Lord and Savior, all revealed the truth of the resurrection. The dead body will be raised. They'll be quickened to come alive. Our Lord and his apostles taught the doctrine of the resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust as well. And now Daniel is telling us that the righteous shall awake to everlasting life. The just, that is the justified, the forgiven, the redeemed, the pardoned, and those who have been made righteous by the cleansing of the blood of the Lamb. It says that these righteous ones, they will come forth out of their graves, and they will come to the resurrection of life because they believed in Christ. Because they received the grace of God. And because they live righteously by faith, walking in the spirit and not in the flesh, they shall not come into condemnation. The saints' resurrection will be a glorious resurrection. I'll be part of that. We shall share in the glory of the risen, reigning Christ. I pray when that time comes, you'll be there in Jesus' name. But Daniel did not only talk about the resurrection of the righteous, he also spoke about the resurrection of the unrighteous. Come back to Daniel chapter 12. In Daniel chapter 12, he tells us, I'm going to read verse 2 again. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life. Those are the righteous people, saved people, redeemed people. And those are the people that lived according to the commandments of the word of the Lord. They live day by day by that will of God, in little things as well as in big things. They didn't allow the flesh to control them. They didn't allow Satan to control them. They didn't allow the sins all around them to have so much pressure on them to make them go astray. They lived in righteousness, and it says, if they die before the rapture, that on that final day of resurrection, they will rise up, and they will rise to life everlasting. But now he talks on the second part, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. He said, there's some that are going to rise up to you. They are unjust. They are unrighteous. They're sinful. They're carnal. They're wicked. They're evil. They're unrepentant. They're hardened in sin. They too, they will die. Because appointed unto men wants to die. And after this, the judgment. And when that judgment comes, after that resurrection, when those sinners rise up, and then they appear before the great white throne judgment, they'll be condemned unto shame and everlasting reproach and contempt. Let's look at the word of God. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, telling us this is the reality of the matter. And it's just a few years to come that this will happen. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, as it is appointed unto men once to die. And then it says, but after this, the judgment. Do you see resurrection there? You sure? You see resurrection there? They die. If there's no life after death, if they are just dead and totally forgotten, if they are dead and buried, how do you punish a dead body? How do you judge a dead body? It means there's resurrection. It says it's appointed unto men once to die. And after that death, there's resurrection. And it is those who are risen, those who are raised from the dead, they'll now be called into question because of the evil things that they have done. After this, the judgment. We're looking at Psalm 9, verses 16 and 17. There's judgment after this. Psalm 9, we're looking at verses 16 and 17. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. He's keeping everything in record. That's why he is the Lord. Nothing escapes his view. Nothing escapes his reckoning. The eyes of the Lord are running to and fro. He sees our motive. He sees our manners. He sees our character. He sees what we do. And he sees why we do them. And he sees how we do them. Not just what you do. There's always a purpose behind every action. There is a reason behind every action. There's a motive behind every action. And God sees all that. That's why he's God. Man may not see, man may not know the reason for doing what you do, the why, the how, the way, the where. But God sees everything. That's why it says the Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. The wicked is snared and in the work of his own hand. In verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into where? Those who are not saved. Those who are not born again. Those who pretend to be saved. And God knows that everything they do, even when they appear to do what is seemingly good, the motive is wrong, the why, the how is wrong. And the Lord is saying that all the wicked that do those wicked things, those evil things, they do it in the secret, they do it in the public, they do it when people are not there, they do it when people are there, and they live in those sins that they cover up. And you know what they do? You see them, you meet them, and sometimes they cannot even totally hide it. And sometimes, maybe you yourself, you copy them, say, church members are not here, nobody will know this, and God knows everything. And he says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God, I pray everyone will repent. You know, when we come to the Bible study like this, and we're hearing the word of God over and over, week after week, if there's no repentance, what a terrible judgment will come upon us then, because we cannot claim that we're ignorant, because we know. And yet, the Lord sees that we deliberately reject the word. I pray you'll not reject the word. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 40. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 40. We're talking about the resurrection of the righteous, the resurrection of the unjust, the resurrection of the sinners, the resurrection of the wicked. And when those wicked people, when they rise up eventually, they come into judgment. We're looking at Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 40. And I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. Those are the unrighteous people, those are the sinners, those are the people that are hiding their sin. They will not repent. Jeremiah spoke to them. Jeremiah told them over and over and over. In fact, he lamented, said, amend your ways, turn around, and make you a new heart, and turn to the Lord, and do the will of the Lord. Ask for the old way. And where is the old path, the good way, and walk therein? And the people adamantly said, no, we will not walk therein. So the Lord said, go and tell them, Jeremiah, resurrection will happen. And their shame will be unforgettable. It will be everlasting. I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten. And then we're looking at Luke chapter 13, where the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, yes, there's going to be a resurrection. And in that future life, the people, the Jewish people in particular, now he was talking to, that they knew the truth, but they will not follow the truth. He said, when that resurrection comes on, they will see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the prophets. They will see them in the very presence of God, but they themselves will be turned away, turned away, turned away. What sorrow and what terrible sin, judgment will come upon them in that day. I pray that will not be your lot. If that is not going to be your lot, you must repent. You must allow the word of God you are hearing to bear fruit in your life, and turn you around and turn you to the Lord, and make you to live righteously and godly in a pure life, even in this world where you have the chance to live according to the will of God. Luke chapter 13, I'm reading from verse 23. Luke chapter 13, verse 23. And then said one unto him, Lord, I dare few that be saved. And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the gate. Strive to enter in at the gate. You know what that means? Endeavor to do it. Determine to do it. Be diligent in doing it. Make all effort in entering in at the gate. As you look at yourself, would you say you are diligent? Would you say you are determined? Would you say you are making the effort? Would you say you are doing your very best to enter in? As you come to the Bible study, the way you hear the Bible study, and the way you pay attention to everything that is said, and the way you take notes, and the way you say, oh Lord, I match this with my life, and the way you say, Lord, I need to straighten this out, and the way you pray after the Bible study, would you say you are diligent? Would you say you are striving to enter? The Lord Jesus Christ said, strive to enter in at the gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. They'll come when it is too late. They'll cry when it is too late. They'll plead when it's too late. They'll try to repent when it's too late. Now at this time of opportunity, this is the time to strive, and this is the time to determine, and this is the time to make all the effort that you will enter in, that you don't make the Bible study a playground. You don't make the Bible study child's play. You don't make the Bible study just that usual religion, usual day-to-day and week-to-week attendance. But you say, I'm coming in, and the way of the kingdom is being revealed unto me, and I want to be righteous, I want to be pure, I want to be sanctified, I want to be holy, and I want to live a life that is pleasing unto the Lord, so that when that day of resurrection will come, I'll be among the people, the judge, that will be resurrected and risen to the resurrection of life. In verse 25, when once the master of the house is risen up and has shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. What a voice they will hear on that day, when they will say, open unto us. By the way, that's resurrection. That's resurrection, because now you know what he's saying. They were dead already. And after death, they now want, they now come alive. And they're able to speak. And they're able to knock. And they're able to say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And the Lord will say, I never knew you. And then they will say, then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. And he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye that walk, what? Tell me out loud. Walk iniquity. What do you walk? Do you walk righteousness or iniquity? What influence do you have on your friends, on your neighbors, on your brothers and sisters, on your junior ones and the senior ones at home? Would you say it's righteousness? Do people look at your life and they say, because of the righteousness in his life, I want to be righteous. I'm thirsty for righteousness. Because of what I see, the quietness in his life, and the faithfulness in his life, and the holiness in his life, makes me thirsty, make me desirous to live a holy life, a righteous life. Or do people see you, and then you are an encouragement to iniquity? You bend them towards iniquity. You bend them away from the word of God. You're hardening their hearts in iniquity. If they say, if so and so, they call you brother, but I don't know whether heaven calls you brother. If they call you sister, I don't know why heaven calls you sister. If brother so and so can do that, that means maybe it's not wrong. If sister so and so can do that, maybe I can do that too. And you lead them and influence them to walk sin and iniquity. And the Lord will say on that day of the resurrection of the unjust, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be no jesting at that time. There will be no smiling at that time. There will be no making jest or ridiculing righteousness or ridiculing the preaching of the word at that time. It will be a terrible time, a time of shame and everlasting contempt. And then it says, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Wait a minute. You shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Before Jesus Christ came into the world, Abraham was dead. He'll rise again. Isaac was dead. He'll rise again. Jacob was dead. He'll rise again. This is resurrection. The Lord is showing us and teaching us in all ways, by the illustrations, by the examples, by the statements, by the declaration, and by the proclamation. There is the resurrection of the righteous and the resurrection of the unjust, of the unrighteous. Ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And there shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Look at that. North, west, east, south, from all the corners of the world, from everywhere. And then it says that, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God, and behold, there are last that shall be first, and the first that shall be last. I pray on that day you will not regret that you didn't give your life to Jesus Christ. that you didn't live a righteous life, that you didn't live as God wanted you to live. I pray that on that day, when the prophets of old, and when Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when Samuel, and all those prophets that live a righteous life, when they come before the throne, and then God had given you a chance to read about their writing, about the revelation, I pray that you will not regret on that day. Had I known, I would have given my life to the Lord. Had I known, I would have lived a righteous life. Because at that time, there will be gnashing of teeth and weeping for the people that remain unrighteous until the last day of their lives. We're looking at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 5. Romans chapter 2, verse 5 tells us about the judgment that will come upon those unrighteous people that day of resurrection. But after their hardness and impenitence of impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath. That is, the people that are deliberate sinners, the people that premeditate sin, the people that plan it ahead of time. We're going to do it this way, do it this way. And they're planning sin, sinful things. And it says, after the hardness of their heart and the impenitence, the unrepentant attitude of their heart, the treasure up unto themselves wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who shall render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality there will be eternal life. But unto them that are contentious, unto them that do not obey the truth but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, there will be tribulation, verse 9, and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. The Lord is telling us that it's not only the Jews that will experience the resurrection, also the Gentiles will experience the resurrection. And as they experience the resurrection in their sin, in their sinful state, then they will come into tribulation, they will come into anguish, and they will come into judgment, and they will come into the wrath of God. They will come into the punishment that will come upon the evil people on that final day. How important it is to repent, how important it is to call upon the Lord, how important it is to have a change of life, a change of heart, a change of character, and to live a life that the Lord will be able to say, that's my beloved son, that's my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. When the Lord sees what you do in the secret and what you do in the public, and he says, that's right, that's right, that's the manifestation of the grace of God in your life, it will be unfortunate if the Lord will say, that's the manifestation of the character of the devil, of the character of carnal people, sinful people, worldly people, hardened people. And those people, on that final day of resurrection, they will cry. Nobody will be there to wipe away their tears. I pray that will not happen to you. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I'm reading there from verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. In flaming fire, that is the judgment that will come upon them, the punishment that will come upon them, those deliberate sinners, those people that live in presumptuous sin, premeditated sin, and those people that harden themselves in doing evil. It says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. You know what Daniel said? Everlasting shame, eternal contempt upon their lives. And you know how Jeremiah put it? It says, a kind of reproach that will never be forgotten. And then here it is saying that it is punishment of everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Let's come to Matthew and see the words of Jesus Christ as he describes the judgment, the punishment that comes upon the people that live unrepentant lives all through their lives. Maybe they are religious, but they are not righteous. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, and never demonstrating obedience to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, this is a shame, the contempt, everlasting forever, that will come upon their lives. And that's the reason why, as we come to the Bible study, I hope you are not just saying, I'm coming to your Bibles, I'm always there, always there. Let it have impact in your life, a transforming impact in your life. let it be a change agent in your life, that your life is no more the same as it used to be, that you are living upright, standing upright, talking upright, and behaving upright, behaving as a people that are living with eternity in view. And you understand that, that Jesus is coming again, and because Jesus is coming again, you are living with that eternal recompense, eternal reward in view. And because you live with eternity in view, you say, how will this match the judgment day? How will they set me free on the judgment day? And you're living with that in mind. Because of that, you'll escape the judgment of God. But the people that just live for today, and they just say, I'll do whatever I want to do, they have no reference point to eternity. All those people are going to be in everlasting shame, everlasting contempt, everlasting punishment on that final day. I pray you'll not be among the foolish people. May God good. Amen. In Matthew chapter 25, I'm reading from verse 31, verse 32. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and shall separate them as one from one another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. His sheep from the goats. It doesn't say his goats. The goats have no master. The goats own no lord. The goats do not submit or surrender to anyone. They're just the goats. But the sheep that are submissive, the sheep that have been changed, the sheep that have been transformed, they belong to the Lord. And he will separate his sheep from the goats. Let's look at verse 41. In verse 41, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into what? Tell me out loud. Everlasting fire. Those are the words of Jesus. Those are the words of Jesus. Remember once again, there are people, they doubt that. There are people that say, no, how can that be? How can that be? You know why? Because they know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. It's always like that. The people that will see the word of God, and even the words of Jesus Christ, the very words that he spoke, and they will still doubt it, and they will just shrug it off, or just wipe it off, and just, you know, wave it off and say, I don't believe that. Those are the people, they know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. And the Bible says, withdraw from them. Don't be in their camp. The Lord Jesus Christ said, then shall he say unto them on the left hand side, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 46, and ye shall go into everlasting punishment. The punishment of those evil people will be everlasting. Let's look at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. The resurrection of the dead is not only for the righteous, it is also for the unrighteous. That is, the righteous will also be raised from the dead to receive their final sentence at the great white throne judgment. Sinners who remain unrepentant, sinners who remain unbelieving until death, shall awake to shame and everlasting contempt. And then it says, the scriptures confirm the fact that there shall be a resurrection of the unjust. Our Lord Jesus Christ revealed very clearly, unmistakably, all that are in the grave shall hear, shall come forth. They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. When a sinner dies, his soul immediately goes into hellfire. In hell, he's conscious. You remember the story that Jesus told of Lazarus and the rich man. That rich man went to hellfire. He was conscious there. His soul was not asleep. He is not at rest. You can see that is the sinner who go to hell, just their soul and their spirit. Those sinners can see, they can feel, they can think, they can remember, they can hear. And that sinner suffers pain and seeks relief, which he will never get, which he will never find. But at the time of the resurrection of the dead, his body is raised from the dead. Life and immortality will be experienced by the body. His soul, spirit, and body will then reunite to live forever, living forever separated from God under condemnation. And the suffering of the sinner, risen, now resurrected, that sinner will now suffer, and the punishment will be endless. Look at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, I'm reading from verse 11. It says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand. Can you see that? I saw the dead, small and great, stand. That's resurrection. How do you see the dead standing? Because life came back to them. Because they rose from the dead. I saw the dead, small and great. You know, there are some people, they say, well, she's still a small girl. Leave her alone. No, she needs to get saved. Because I saw the dead, small and great. He's still a little boy. And little boys, they will steal. What are you worried about that? Little boys, they will do wicked things. What are you worried about that? When little boys, when you were young, were you not also in those little things you are doing in familiar spirit and witchcraft and this? It's just a little boy. Leave him alone. When he grows up, he will grow out of that. What if he dies young? What if he dies small, as a small boy, a small girl? And here the Bible says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. That's the resurrection. That's the resurrection. The sea, the people that were drowned in the sea, the sea cast them forth, gave them up. And it says, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. That is, the souls in hell will be released. And the bodies under the ground will be released to be reunited together, body, soul, and spirit, to become the whole man and to stand before the judgment seat of God. And they were judged, every man. Are you ever conscious of that? Are you ever conscious of that? They were judged, every man. Do you live in the light of eternity? In the light of the resurrection day, they were judged, every man. The things you do, the things you say, the small things and the big things, the slander, the lies, the hypocrisy, the wickedness, the sinful things that show the life of the sinner or the life of the backslider. Do you ever think about that? Or do you just say, once they don't know it, once they don't see it, and once the church will not discipline me, and once the leadership will not correct me, and once they will not remove me away from my duty post? What if they don't see you? The Almighty God sees you, and he knows the why, the how, the reason why you do what you do. And because of that, judgment day will come. And when the judgment day comes, he's not going to overlook anything. If you have not repented, it's only when you come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry for that. I repent. I want to live a righteous life. I want to live my life in the light of eternity. And everything I do, I want to be conscious that there's going to be a judgment day. And you live with that consciousness. It is then by the grace of God. It is then by the protection of the blood of the Lamb. It is then by the mercy of God, the love of God, that overlooks everything you have done after you've repented. It's only then forgiveness will come, righteousness will come, and then you'll escape the judgment in Jesus' name. And it says in that verse, and I'm reading that verse 13 again, and to see, give up the dead, which one in each? And death and hell delivered up the dead, which were in them. And they were judged, every man. How many people? Tell me out loud. Tell me out loud. Every man. You know, there are people today that stand behind, especially in the world, they stand behind their godfather, their godmother. They stand behind some authorities. And they say, touch me if you can. Rebuke me if you can. Punish me if you can't, because if you touch me, my Godfather will take it up with you. Well, there's no Godfather that can take it up with the Almighty God. He will judge every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever, there's no discrimination. Whosoever, there's no partiality. Whosoever, there's no respect of persons. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast where? into the lake of fire. This is why we preach, brothers and sisters. This is why we preach, pastors and leaders. This is why we preach. And this is why we're faithful in preaching. This is why we don't cover our mouth to say what we need to say. This is why we tell the truth as it is. And this is why we warn every sinner, every backslider. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm reading from verse 10, verse 11. This is the reason we're making the noise. We're shouting it. And we're blowing it like a trumpet. That the sinner should repent. The backslider should come back to the Lord. And that you should look at your life as an individual. And just not, don't just follow the crowd. And this is where we're saying, this is the day of repentance and the day of salvation. And this is the time to prepare to live a life that will be commendable before the Almighty God in eternity. We're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're looking at verse 10. For we must all appear. How many of us? All. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, knowing therefore the judgment of the Lord, knowing therefore that the righteous will rise unto the resurrection of damnation and condemnation, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord will persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. I pray the Lord will make you wise, make me wise, make all of us wise in Jesus' name. So every day of our lives, every moment of our lives, we'll live a life that is glorifying to God, that is pleasing to the Lord, and then we'll live with eternity in view. We'll come to point number 3, the rewards of the righteous. We're looking at Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, the reward of the righteous. Daniel chapter 12, we're looking at verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Give me a good amen. You know, there are two kinds of people in the world, and these two kinds of people have influence. One, the righteous people, the saved people, the sanctified people. One, the people that are following after the Lord and they're interested in the Lord. Their interest every time is, how many can I turn to the Lord? How many can I turn away from their sins, away from darkness? How many can I turn unto righteousness? How many can I influence to run after the Lord and follow after the Lord and live in righteousness? That's a group of people. The other group of people, they're saying, how many people can I make fall? How many people can I turn away from the kingdom? How many people can I turn into darkness? How many people can I corrupt? How many people can I pollute? How many people can I teach to do evil? Those kinds of people are there too. They have a wrong influence. They have a bad influence. They have a corrupting influence. They have a sinful influence, corrupting impact upon other people. Here we are, our leaders, our coordinators, our group coordinators, our pastors, our regional pastors, our state pastors, our national pastors are doing their best. And they're turning people from sin unto righteousness. And they're saying, repent, come to know the Lord. And we're kind of preaching our hearts out. And we're saying, come to know the Lord. And then as we're turning people to the Lord, there are people back there. And they're influencing people to go astray, to do evil, and to turn them from the Savior to the Satan, and from light unto darkness, and from serious commitment to the word of God unto evil and iniquity. You know, on the final day, all the people that teach other people, influence other people to do evil, that corrupt other people, literally are going to have the judgment of God, because the Lord himself is taking note of the people that teach and that turn many people to follow evil. Look at Jeremiah chapter 28. Jeremiah chapter 28. I'm going to read to you from verse 15. And we're going to read to verse 16 too. Jeremiah chapter 28. Jeremiah chapter 28. Verse 15. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Ananiah, the prophet, hear now, Ananiah, the Lord has not sent thee, but thou makest these people to trust in a lie. You know, as we are getting people out of lying, out of evil, out of hypocrisy, out of sin, out of hard-heartedness, out of following Satan, and we tell them to follow the Lord, turn them to righteousness. There are some people like Ananias, and they're turning the minds of the people into a lie. And it says, therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will cast thee off from the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. There are people like that. They teach rebellion against the word of the Lord. And did not allow the mind of the people to stay on the word of righteousness. The righteous are turning other people to righteousness, and they shall shine as stars forever and ever. But the backsliders, the evil people, they are influencing others to do evil and teaching evil. Chapter 29 of Jeremiah, verse 32. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 32. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will punish Shemaiah, the Nehelamite, and his seed. He shall not have a man to dwell among these people, neither shall he behold the good that I will do for my people, says the Lord. Why? Because he has taught rebellion against the Lord. I told you there are two kinds of people. There are people who are teaching other people to be sinful, to be wayward, and to be carnal, and to be worldly, and to be backsliding, and not to regard the word of God. Those people, they will cry, they will regret in all eternity. Today, there's chance to repent. On that final day, there will be no chance to repent. I want you to find out, how many people have you led astray? How many people have you led astray? You know what you need to do? You need to go back to them and say, you know, I led you astray. I led you astray. Therefore, I'm straightening out my way now. Therefore, please come back to the Lord. Can I talk to you? Can I speak the truth to you? So, you know, sometimes there are people that leave the church. And when they leave the church, they don't just leave like that by themselves. They begin to talk to the other people, especially the people that do not know their left from their right. They're born again, they're saved, but they can easily be confused. And they begin to say, but look at this, but look at this. And they teach those people to rebel against the way of the Lord and to turn away from the Lord. And they actually take many people away. None that they are forming a church, they just, you know, turn them away from the truth. One day, this person that has turned many people away from the truth might just realize, hey, I've done wrong. I'm repenting. And then they come back to the Lord, and they come back to the church. And then they say, pastor, I am back. I'm a child of God now. I've repented. All those bad things I said, I have returned to the Lord now. Welcome. But my brother, my sister, how about those people you influenced, and they're still away in the far country, and you have led them to the false prophet, and you have led them to the places where they will not see life eternal? What are you doing? Go back to them and tell them, I've come back. I'm doing right now. I influenced you to do evil, but now I have repented myself. And it is only when you have done your part in bringing them back to the light that you are free. That's the reason why, brothers and sisters, you know, sometimes you are wondering, somebody has left the church for about 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, and then they come back to the church, and that week they come back, they want to be made a worker, they want to be made a leader. We say, no, you cannot be a leader like that. Look at all those people outside, tens and hundreds of them that you led astray, and here you are, and then you are standing on the pulpit again and preaching and saying, thus says the Lord, I'm deeper life number one. Now, no, you cannot be. All those other people you influence to go astray, you will go back to them. That's part of rectifying your way, restoring your way unto the Lord. That's the reason why. And then those of us who are in the church, you've been here for 20 years, 30 years, and you have been there under rebuke, you are there under chastisement, you are there under discipline, you are there. And these people that just come back, they want to go ahead of you to become leaders and preachers above those of you who have been staying here for 30, 20 years. No, that cannot be. They will take their place too. And of course, we are not even here for preaching or position. We're here because, oh, this is the gate to heaven. I said, this is the gate to heaven. Want to get to heaven, that's why we're here. Not for position, not for preaching. And so, if you've gone astray and you led other people astray, you will turn them back to righteousness. And that's how the blessings of God can come upon your life. Look at Daniel chapter 12. I'm reading from verse 3. Daniel chapter 12 verse 3. And they that be wise, I am wise. I said I am wise. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness. Those are the wise people. The people that turn many to righteousness. That's why, brothers and sisters, I'm always preaching repentance. Turn them unto righteousness. That's why we're preaching sanctification and holiness. Turn them unto righteousness. That's why we're preaching against worldliness. Come out of them and be separate, says the Lord. We're turning them to righteousness. That's why we're preaching the grace of God, the faith that purifies us, that makes us new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are what? Become new. That's why we're saying, receive the grace of God in your life, so that your life will be totally different, and turn from sin unto the Savior, and turn unto righteousness. Because only the people that turn many to righteousness, not the people that establish churches, there are many churches, not the people that raise up ministries, there are many ministries, not the people that gather crowd, there are many crowds, but the people, through their preaching, through their evangelistic effort, and through the crowd they gather, they turn the people from sin unto righteousness. They are the people that will shine as stars forever and ever. I pray you all be there. That's what a preacher actually does. If your preaching is not turning people to righteousness, you shouldn't be preaching. If you're not talking about repentance, about restoration, about righteousness and restitution, about uprightness, you shouldn't be preaching. The reason why we preach, and the reason why we say we're serving the Lord as pastor, as preacher, as evangelist or whatever, is so that we can turn many unto righteousness. In Malachi chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 4. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me. I was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth. Iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity. Tell me the rest of verse 6. And did turn many away from iniquity. That's Christianity. That's righteousness. That's serving the Lord. Not teaching people how to sin, how to do evil, how to be hypocritical, how to be wayward, how to be wicked. This is ministry. Turning people away from sin and turning them unto righteousness. Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 16. Luke chapter 1, verse 16. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God. That's it. That's the reason we're ministering. That's the reason we're here. Many of the children of Israel will he turn to the Lord their God. Verse 17. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Isn't that what the Lord is expecting us to do? Look at Matthew chapter 13. Turn people to righteousness. Turn people to godliness. Turn people to living upright lives. By your words, by your action, by your example, by your influence, by your counseling, by your advice, you turn them unto righteousness. Those are the people that are going to be rewarded on the final day. Think about that. And live with eternity in view. In Matthew chapter 13, I'm reading from verse 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. I have ears to hear. And I'm hearing. I said I'm hearing. And I'm going to do what the Lord is teaching me to do in Jesus' name. You know, there are people, they have influence, and their influence is negative. And their influence is not only influencing people in their district, is influencing people in the whole group. Not only that, it goes beyond their group. Not only that, it goes beyond their region. Not only that, it goes beyond their stage. In this day of GSM, of telephone, and they use the telephone to corrupt the minds of people, to turn people away from righteousness. And they say, this how to do it, this how we are doing it, this how to do it, how to do evil, how to lie, how to be corrupt, how to sin, how to turn away from sanctification and righteousness. You know, if you're doing that, there's judgment on the final day. But if you will use that same telephone and, you know, call all those people and say, you know what? I don't know what came on me that influenced you to go the wrong way. And what came on you that all the messages you're hearing from our faithful leaders, you didn't observe it, obey, and you listen to me. I'm not your preacher, I'm not your pastor. You listen to me to influence you to do evil. Now I've repented. Please repent. And if you do evil, now my hand is no more there. That's the only time the Lord will be able to justify you. But if, you know, while the Lord Jesus is building his church, you're tearing that church down by unrighteous influence, the Lord will not overlook that. That's why it's good to repent, and I pray you repent in Jesus' name. Acts of the Apostles chapter 26, look at the reason for ministry. Acts of the Apostles chapter 26 verse 16, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of those things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. That's ministry. To turn them from darkness unto light. And those are the people that are going to be rewarded on the final day. And I pray that we shall be rewarded in Jesus' name. The reward of the righteous are great, both here and hereafter, both here on earth and hereafter in heaven. We shall come forth of the resurrection of life. And to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, there will be eternal life. Glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good. The righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. We shall eat of the tree of life. I pray it will be given to you. We shall wear the crowns of life. We shall reign with Christ our King in his everlasting kingdom. We shall live forever with him. And he will make us pillars in the temple of his God. Our rewards and inheritance are great and glorious beyond description. And the servants of God who turn many to righteousness, who turn many to righteousness. Can I speak to you for a moment? You know, sometimes as I move around, I see many people, you know, they say, praise the Lord, pastor. You're still my pastor. Well, thank you very much for that. I appreciate that. I appreciate that good comment. And, you know, everything you've taught me, I'm still following. Is that right? You know, some of these people that live a deeper life and, you know, I hope they hear me, because I like them to hear. I don't like to say anything behind anybody. I like them to hear. And I'm asking them, when you are here, we taught you righteousness and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now you have left, and you're doing whatever you're doing. Are you following exactly what we have taught? Do you teach repentance? Do you teach being born again? Do you teach new life in Christ? You teach that if any man of those that are coming to your new ministry now, if any man be in Christ, a new creature, and if any man be born of God, he does not commit sin. Are you teaching that? Are you teaching that they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world? The lust of the flesh and the lust of theirs and the pride of life, it is not of the Father but of the world. And he whosoever loveth the world will perish with the world, but he that loveth God abides in the word of God, he will live forever. Are you teaching that? Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Are you teaching that? And so when I come to these places and they say, you know, pastor, thank God very much, everything you taught me I'm still following. This is what I've been teaching. I'm teaching the whole Bible. Are you still following them? Are we just gathering crowd and crowd and crowd? Where are we taking them to? On the final day, what will the Lord say concerning you? You taught them righteousness, or you taught them iniquity? rebellion against the word of the Lord. I pray that all of us will wake up and come back to the truth in Jesus' name. And those of us who are still remaining here, I'm, you know, saying it every time and every Monday, laying line upon line and precept upon precept. I pray that you'll not be dull of hearing, that you'll accept the truth and believe the truth and live by the truth. And if you have any friend that will try to turn you away from righteousness, you know that it's inviting the judgment of God upon his head. Because of that, you're going to say, please go your way. I don't want to be friendly with anybody to the point the fellow will lead me to hell. I'm turned away from unrighteousness unto righteousness, and I want to stay that way. And the influence we have on you, you want to remain with that influence. I said you want to remain with that influence. And by the way, if there's another pastor in this church that is our leader, I will submit. And I will say the same thing I'm saying now, that you ought to listen to your pastor more than you listen to any detractor, any bad influence. And if anybody comes to you and says anything different from what I say, what I read to you in the Bible, you ought to be wise enough to say, no, my friend, go your way. That's my father in the Lord. That's my pastor. He's showing us the way to heaven. What he says, I'm going to follow. I'm not going to follow the evil way you are leading me to. You want to take me to hell. Leave me alone. Let me follow the one that wants to take me to heaven. And if you hear the word of God we're teaching here, that heaven, we'll get there together in Jesus' name. And this is the reason why we say that, because our reward depends on that, turning people unto righteousness. And I pray that as I've spoken very clearly to you, you will not shrug off the word of God, you will not reject the word of God, you are going to accept the word of God in Jesus' name. And the benefit and the reward of those who accept the word will come upon your life in Jesus' name. We're looking at 1 John chapter 3 from verse 1. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 3, everybody, we are going to read verse 3 together. 1, 2, 3, go. You see that everyone that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. If anybody then is trying to influence you to live an impure life, a sinful life, an hypocritical life, you ought to be wise enough to say, no, I want to get to heaven. I'm not here for any man. I'm here so that my soul will be saved and remain saved. It says, and every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. The Lord will do it. Amen. I said the Lord will do it. Why don't you rise up, and we're going to talk to the Lord in prayer. Every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Talk to the Lord in prayer. Talk to the Lord in prayer. Take what you have heard, what you have learned, to the Lord in prayer. Don't act like in the past. Don't harden your heart. Receive the word. Don't say you will not turn. This is for your good. Turn to righteousness. Turn to holiness. Turn to purity. Turn to sincerity of life. Repent of the hardness of heart. Take the totality of the word of God. Don't follow deceivers, detractors. You don't want to love a tempter more than you love Christ. Your soul is at stake. There's going to be the resurrection of the just. There's going to be the resurrection of the unjust. We're not just in church for religion. Ye must be born again. You don't want to love anybody beyond above your soul. You don't want your eternal destiny to be at stake because of the wrong influence of one man, one woman, teaching you contrary to the way of holiness. You want to stand solidly on this word of God. You are not making friends at the expense of your soul. Get into heaven. If anybody has gone astray, you don't want to sympathize with them and say, don't worry, I'm around you, I'm supporting you, I will go to hell with you, I'll go astray with you. I know you need companion, you need a companion, you need an associate, I'll associate with you in evil. You don't want to do that. Make your stand clear. The unrighteous will rise to you from the dead. The sinners will rise to you from the dead. Adulterers will rise from the dead. Fornicators will rise from the dead. Unfaithful people will rise from the dead. Liars will rise from the dead. Hypocritical people will rise from the dead. But they rise unto condemnation and to judgment. But only the righteous, the wise, those that turn many to righteousness, those are the people that will shine forever and ever as the stars of heaven in the firmament of heaven. Tell the Lord, get me back to that foundation of righteousness. Fix my eyes on the goal, on heaven, not on religion. Turn me away from evil. Help me to be a good influence on people, encouraging them to pray, encouraging them to turn away from sin, encouraging them to live in holiness and sanctification. Help me, Lord, that I will not be teaching rebellion, teaching disobedience, teaching evil. Help me, Lord, so I will not be uprooting the pillars of holiness and righteousness, the household of faith. I want those eternal rewards. And if you have left, or you just came back, remember the people you led astray. Don't come to me and say, I want to join the workforce now. I've come back. I want to do this. I want to do that. Start by going back to the people you led astray. You taught them rebellion. You influenced them to get away from the truth. Bring them back to the truth. Their souls are lost because of your influence. You know what you said, you know what you did, you know how you influenced people. And if you're still outside, you've had a ministry, church, whatever, wherever you are, come back to the Bible, come back to the Word. Eternal rewards, everlasting reward. It's only for the people that turn many to righteousness. Not just doing church, raising up ministry, righteousness, holiness, And if you are a pastor, you preach good, you preach great in the public, but privately, you are leading those ladies there into sin, turning them. But what you preach on the pulpit, righteousness, turning them into sin, evil in the private. What will your judgment be? Turn many to righteousness. Resurrection of the just, it will come. Resurrection of the unjust, it will come. And the reward of the righteous, it will come. And the recompense of the unrighteous, it will come. Choose you this day who you will serve and how you will serve. Come with a sincere, honest heart and say, Lord, I'll follow you to the very end of my life, in small things, in big things, in great things, in little things. I'll live in righteousness. Then when the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise, and the saints, not sinners, and the saints, not backsliders, and the saints go marching in, then God will count you among the number. Remain saved, ready for the coming of the Lord.